A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business could be a driving force to create change or build an empire. We know old ideas aren't cutting it anymore, so we're calling for a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's up to us to make it happen. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
This is an ode to the glass noodle. You may be glass only in name, but our love for you is crystal clear in every Bibigo Korean dumpling. Your tantalizing texture tickles the taste buds, and while you are see-through, the world can't help but see you. The glass noodle, one of many obsessively crafted ingredients in every plump and juicy Korean dumpling from Bibigo. Go handcrafted. Go Bibigo. Authentic Korean dumplings now in the freezer aisle.
This is Podco Media Networks.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. We're back with John Findlay, this time sustainability and the response they've gotten from consumers. It's a fascinating story. So let's get right back to it.
Yeah, so most of our products are at least 80%, not everyone, but most of them are at least 80% recycled poly, and that recycled poly is made out of water bottles.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and the amount of waste we use in this world is just unbelievable, and we've got to do something about it. So we take this very seriously. When I was in China working with some companies that made fabric, and the pollution involved in making fabric and dyes and stuff is really something else. So the more we can be eco-friendly and sustainability focused, you know, something we really need to do. And there's a lot of other brands, you know, Allbirds is doing an excellent job of that. So we want to be a part of that movement. I think it's something really critical.
I don't know if you delved into this based on whatever insights you got from looking at MAS, but MAS is a global leader in clean fabric dyeing and other textile related processes, you know, doing them in a clean, sustainable way. I think their factories are even certified. South Asia, India, Nepal, Sri Lanka is not exactly the most eco-friendly part of the world.
Right.
But MAS is like a significant standout, not only in that region, but like globally.
That's good to know. Yeah, I would love to talk to them because that is important. As much as we can make everything sustainable, and even our packaging, the outer package, the mailer is recyclable and recycled. And then the inner package is biodegradable. It's really cool plastic we found through our source in Taiwan. We do the best we can. We're always looking to improve.
I love the sustainability piece. I love that the recycled bottles goes into the poly that you use. I'm curious, you guys have brainstormed other ways to leverage that piece of the story, you know, like a giving campaign or something related to cleaning the ocean or getting rid of bottles around the world or whatever. Is there an angle there that you think could be useful in the future?
In the future, yeah, we thought about that. And, you know, someday when we grow up, we'd like to be a B Corp, which is a certified sustainable company, but that will take a while. I got to tell you, though, I think being eco-friendly and having a sustainability focus is important, but it's not usually a consumer's first choice. They still, you know, they like the overall story, but of course they still want a great product at a great price. And then they say, oh, they're really glad that it's, you know, eco-friendly. With some people, it's their first choice, but not everybody. So, you know, it's important to us, but how we market it, is, it depends on the group that we're reaching out to.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's probably an overarching brand strategy, and then there's probably, you know, whatever, a half dozen or more micro strategies or tactics below it.
Exactly. And those are the messaging that we're working on refining all the time.
Who are your two colleagues? Do you want to give them a shout out? The female managers that you have on board helping with the brand and with the brand story?
Yeah, sure. Grace Chang is our creative director. Orlela Winters, our head of marketing. And they're just really, really awesome. I'm really excited to be working with them.
What industries do they come out of? Are they both apparel and fashion people? Or
Grace is a tech, e-commerce entrepreneur, also fashion designer. She did most of the photography you've seen that we've been doing a lot of updated photos in the last few months, several months,
yeah.
Actually. Orly is from the agency side. She's worked with HBO, Absolute, Clinique, Kraft, a whole bunch of brands. It's been really great working with them. It's one thing for me as a middle-aged guy to have this sort of crazy idea, but to have them help bring it to life is really something special.
How did you recruit them? Were they in your network or did they come from a headhunter? Or?
I met Grace through one of our advisors, Preston, that also introduced me to you.
Oh, okay.
He's been a huge help. And then Orly, I reached out to this organization called Movement. It's about body positivity. And we donated a whole bunch of tops.
Excellent.
For one of their Dare to Bear rallies, if you will, several months ago in San Francisco. I was talking to one of them, Jesse there. I was saying, oh, I really need a branding person. Love to talk to someone. And she introduced me to Orly. And Orly's just been awesome. So yeah, just networking. Always networking.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Mark, was there something you wanted to ask our esteemed guest?
Yeah, it's a good transition to you were talking about your marketing folks, and I have some questions about marketing.
Sounds good.
What do you hope the name Underall sparks in someone's mind?
Today, it's going to be different than it will be in a few years, right?
Yeah.
But today, it's like with me. It's like, oh, I remember those. My mother wore them. And when I was a kid, I remember the ads. There are going to be people, women that remember their mother's wearing it, their grandmother's wearing it, or seeing the ads on TV. They may not have worn them at all because they were too young. And of course, there are people that remember them and wore them. But just a, I don't know, a good feeling. Just like, oh yeah, that's sort of cool. That was fun. That was a fun brand. Just a warm feeling, for lack of a better term. But we'll develop that and expand our audience as we grow.
Yeah. I think there's a difference between nostalgia and retro. Nostalgia is trying to hearken back to what it felt like in the 70s or the 80s when Underalls was huge. And I think retro is trying to get some of the feel of it, but in a context that is modern, that is contemporary. Do you agree with that?
I haven't thought about that, but yeah, I do. And I think we're going more for the retro. It's sort of like when the Beatle was revived several years ago. You know, the people that were buying it the second time around were mostly young people, but it was a classic car. So yeah. We want to mix that. We want to have that retro feeling, but be modern with our products and our sustainability and all that.
So what's the brand equity you think that has carried over from the 70s and 80s? I think anybody who wasn't around then maybe doesn't know and should go on YouTube and realize what a cultural phenomenon Underalls was.
Huge.
You know, show us your Underalls and all that from that period was, I think, a cultural phenomenon. What equity has carried over from that and has helped you relaunch?
It's going to be up to us, right? How we use it and how much we use it. Again, I don't want to be the retro brand, but I do want that to be an asset. If you remember, you know, at the end of the ads, it had the butt that went ding, ding. Every guy investor I talked to, that's what they remember.
That was the only thing I remembered until you guys started talking about some of the other details.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things that they
like the buses. Yeah,
exactly. But the point is, that wouldn't be appropriate today. But what we can do is make that inclusive, make that butt, you know, different sizes and colors and all sorts of things and update it and also poke fun at ourselves. You know, a lot of these yoga brands, and we don't want to be a yoga brand, but that's where we're starting. But a lot of these yoga brands take themselves so seriously. We're going to poke fun at ourselves and we're going to take the old ads and have a good time with it.
I love that. I think the lighthearted approach is always going to win minds and hearts.
I sort of look at it like, I think the three of us will understand. I don't know if the younger people will, but it's sort of like MASH. MASH, the TV show, is very, very funny. But it had its poignant moments too, right?
Yeah.
That's what I want to do with Underalls. Overall, we're going to be really funny and lighthearted and not take ourselves seriously. But there will be times, you know, whether it's women's empowerment or the environment or something, that, you know, things get a little bit serious.
Yeah.
That's what we want to mix.
That's an interesting comparison. It's kind of the pathos of life and the fun of life too.
Exactly. And I think that we'll be able to reach a really broad audience. You know, a lot of these new brands are really cool, but they get fairly narrow and focused. I think we can be as big as a Under Armour or Gap. I think we can be really broad and we'll have a wide appeal, I believe.
In reviving this brand, what were the main challenges to bringing the brand back? Forget about finding capital and all that.
That's a big piece.
No, I understand that, but you've got your creative director, you've got your marketing director. What are the challenges that they are facing in bringing back this brand and reviving it, taking the paddles to the chest and, you know, reviving this brand after quite a long break?
Yeah, well, the first things we did were, you know, come up with a product that goes directly back to our roots, which I think is awesome. And then also we updated the logo and just sort of the voice of the brand. we did all that. And then as we move forward, we'll always sort of tweak the brand. The whole point of the digitally native company is to be engaged with your customer and interact with them. We'll be a reflection of them. So as we grow, it'll change. But, you know, a lot of it so far has been sort of what we envisioned it as, you know, with the updated colors and with the updated logo and all of that.
If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
My last question is about the designs, which are, you know, pretty bold and striking in many ways. And how does that reflect or affect the way that you market the company?
The way the landscape is out there for...
I personally don't like how judgmental Mark Reed Edwards is being right now. What are you looking for, Mark Reed Edwards? Are you looking for like pinstripes and herringbone? What are you looking for, buddy?
No, I'm just saying they're bold. They're really, really beautiful, but...
If you look at what's out there, it's a bold world, if you will, for yoga pants. Yeah. So that's sort of, you know, that's where we're competing. And again, we're mixing the old and the new, and that's part of our new side, if you will. But again, we are going to create some designs that have a little bit more of a throwback to them. But no, the designs we have, I think they fit great with today's market, and we've gotten a great reception.
Uprising is cool. I could see why that's popular. I really like the Kelly and Lennon. I don't really understand. What's the origin of the name for that? Is that who designed it, or who's Kelly and Lennon?
You know, I completely am spacing on the Kelly part, but the Lennon is John Lennon.
Oh, it
was a mix of those two things that one of our early designers created.
I like it a lot, actually.
Clearly unique.
The white Kelly and Lennon is pretty awesome, actually. The camouflage thing I'm curious about because it's like a non-traditional camouflage color palette.
Those have been popular too. I like those as well, yeah.
Very cool. And I see that you guys have done your homework on color. Fads and color, you know, you've got a couple of very popular colors in here in your solids, azure.
Team has, I can't claim any thing to that. That's not me.
You know, you've talked about empowerment. You've talked about inclusion. You talked about body positivity. One of the companies where I'm a co-owner, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this and learning about this, especially the body positivity part. My hat's off to you on anything you can do to move the needle on that piece in particular, the body positivity. Seems like you got a good chance to do that. But there's something else that you and I talked about in one of our recent conversations that had to do with more like LGBTQ. Can you tell that backstory?
It's pretty simple. She's just simply a friend of Grace's, of our creative director. And she's a transgender model. I think she's beautiful. She was just in Playboy last month and she did us a favor and was willing to be a model for us. And I think she looks great. Grace is good friends with her. They've known each other for a long time.
That's radical inclusion, right?
I guess so, but, you know, I don't look at it that way. She's really cool and she looks great and she's a friend of Grace and that's that. I think it's sort of simple.
Yeah.
Some people differ and have a different opinion, but I think it's just sort of basic. I thought it was very, very nice of her to model for us. She's really taken off.
Who cares what the naysayers are saying? None of them are paying the bills anyway, right?
Exactly.
What is the most surprising customer response or unexpected or bizarre? What's come back from your audience that you didn't expect?
Oh, that's a good question. And I'm trying to think. I mean, just dealing with consumers, and I love them to death. But sometimes the bike shorts were too long or too short. Just some stuff that we couldn't really control. Somebody gave us a 4-star review because they were a shorter person and the legs were too long on them. You know, we need to eventually, we're going to do 7/8 and capris, and we're going to have other styles that are shorter. And that's something we need to do. We just don't have that in our repertoire right now. But on the other hand, she tags us all the time and she loves us. So it's sort of funny. Just typical consumer stuff. Everybody has sort of their own expectations, which is fine. And you try to meet their needs and get them what they want.
Mark is the branding expert, but you know, I have my own personal theories and I would always defer to people who just actually do this stuff for a living, you know, versus just opine on it like I do. Years ago, and maybe Mark can help me and remember the guy who wrote the book. I think he was the former head of J. Walter Thompson, wrote a book called Love Marks. I'm a big fan of the core branding philosophy that drives Love Marks. Love Marks basically says, as a brand owner, a brand creator, a brand renovator, whatever, your brand flourishes when your customer loves, like emotionally loves your brand. And your job as the brand owner or renovator or whatever is to find more ways to love them back.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
That was the CEO of Saatchi & Saatchi.
That's what it was.
Kevin Roberts.
That's the guy. Love marks. I mean, everything comes back to love.
What it actually says is that people make decisions and build loyalty based on their emotions and the way they feel about something. So it's really a very kind of personal decision that's based on their emotions.
That's exactly right. And that's what the beauty of the brand is, any brand, right? That's the hardest to quantify. I mean, how do you quantify love? If you're in love with somebody, how much is that worth? I had an argument with a friend the other day who's very empirical, and he's like, you know, how much is that brand worth? And well, I'm like, how do you quantify it? But it's the most valuable, I think. Again, that's why I'm doing this. If I was just doing John's leggings, it wouldn't mean anything. But I could come up with some cool name. I could figure out, hire somebody, or just come up with some interesting name. And that's what a million other yoga brands have done. But to have this history and depth and something you can look back on and also build on, that's what I think is special. And that's what you want to do, is build that emotion, have that emotional connection. That's what it's all about.
I do a lot of work in B2B marketing, and I've been preaching this for 20 years, that people are not corporations and businesses don't sell to businesses. They sell to human beings. That's something only in really the last few years that big B2B brands have understood.
Until bots actually are the purchasing managers, you're dealing with people and they want an emotional connection too.
The reason I brought it up in the context of the lady who is complaining about the bike short length.
Don't quote me on that. I don't remember the exact what the complaint was, but it was something interesting.
And on the other hand, she's very proactive about tagging you. And
right, right.
So to me, that is a love conundrum right there, right? Because clearly she loves the product. And I feel like the way to respond to that, when it's appropriate and when you're, you know, appropriately capitalized and all that stuff, is to embrace it, right? And to,
oh yeah, clearly
figure out what you can do on God's green earth to make her happy with the length of your bike short.
That is absolutely right.
That story to me resonates a lot because it really speaks to the personalization. It speaks to the amount of love and the emotional connection that woman has with your brand. It's really your game to lose. When someone feels that strongly about you, that they would have that criticism and or have the proactivity around tagging you on social media. To me, the battle is already half won.
That's the strongest signal, right? That means they care.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, I agree. That's an asset, clearly.
So this is personally my favorite part of the podcast. I'm going to ask you, John, for a couple of your big picture predictions. What do you see happening in the next year, couple of years, 3 years, either in business, society, culture, all three?
With underalls or with...
No, in life. You can answer it in a narrow sense with underalls, or you can be as expansive. And this is one of those things. I had a mentor that used to say, you know, you try to give people enough rope to hang themselves.
Yeah, I see the rope coming.
You can take as little rope or as much rope as you see fit.
I have no idea. I've been so focused on this. I hate to cop out, but I've been so focused on underalls. I mean,
if you're going to do that, then I will ask you a question.
But I will just say that what little I've watched the news, it's sort of all over the place and things can get really, it can get really good. I mean, there's a lot of cool things going on with technology and there's a lot of ways that we can improve people's lives. And then there's a lot of fighting and wasting time. It's disheartening.
I'm going to ask you a couple of quick questions then. And one of them may be a trick question. Not all of them.
Every one of Garnett's questions is a trick question, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, I do know him well enough to know that.
What's going to happen in the stock market during a presidential election year?
It's going to be volatile. That's it.
There you
That's
go.
My answer.
Do you have a prediction for who's going to win?
No, we don't really know who's running, and there's too many variables, and I don't have a prediction, no. But I think it's going to be close.
Historically, you could just bet the incumbent and have better than average odds of winning.
Yeah, no, you're right. But this is a unique incumbent, I would argue.
That's one way to put it.
So we've been speaking with John Finley, who is the CEO of Vonderalls, which is a brand that traces its roots back to the 70s. And John is masterminding the revival of the brand and modernizing it and taking it to digital natives, trying to make a go of it. And the website is underalls.com. That's underalls.com. We wish you the best, John.
Thank you both. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit the innovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.